Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday night, the YouTube Determined Show live Beyond Ringside Radio Network, BeyondRingside.com, being sponsored this evening by PCSS for all your IT support needs. I am the Orc of Ominous, the Architect of Intellect, the Wicked Nemesis. Joining me, as always, my producer extraordinaire and host of Beyond Ringside, Fast Eddie Lane. Eddie, how you doing tonight, sir?
It has been a beautiful day, and it keeps getting better by the second.
And my favorite person in the world, my much better half, the one and only, Angie Travis. Angie, how you doing about that?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Now, I like to go on. I like to hijack Eddie's shows quite often. So tonight, the tables has been turned. Tonight, we have a very special interview with a very special man. A man that this Sunday... This weekend is going to be huge for wrestling as a whole, as it is every weekend, but we'll let Eddie tell this. Eddie, take it away, if you will, sir.
For those of you that listened to Back to Basics last night, I had the privilege of having Tony Brooklyn back on, who's the man in charge for Lone Star Championship Wrestling. They're based close to Houston, normally in Cypress, Texas. Lone Star has an event coming up this Sunday in Pasadena, Texas, at the Pasadena Convention Center Municipal Fairgrounds, 7902 Fairmont Parkway, and in a match... That is something that I personally went on record to say that this could be a main event in any arena in the country. I say that, I mean it, and I'm about to back it up. The man they call Supermex Hernandez is going to be taking on our very special guest at this time. A lot of you know him by a number of different names. A lot of you are going to know him as one half of the internationally known tag team War Machine. I've also known him as Death Row, but he's also Hard to Kill. Ray Rowe, welcome to the To Be Determined show, sir.
Thank you, guys. That's a hell of an introduction.
Now, I'm going to ask first. I normally always start out with Mr. Rowe. Do you prefer Ray or Raymond? Which one's good?
Whichever. I've answered to both my entire life, so you can call me whatever, and I'll answer.
Now, I've got what I call the franchise question for our shows, and for me, it's a two-parter. There's always two moments for us in pro wrestling. The first moment, we become a fan. The second moment, the bug bites. And the brain flips, and the heart goes, I got to do this. For Ray Rowe, which one's better? I mean, what are those two moments?
To me, I became a fan. Literally, I've been a fan since I was 5 years old. It goes back as far as my dad used to take me to a different church service than the rest of the family on Sundays, so we could come home on Sundays and watch WWF programming when it was still on broadcast TV Sunday morning. So that tells you, kind of how old I am versus, also the dedication back then when I was a kid, watching Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and all those guys Sunday mornings and, working out the routines and doing everything in front of the TV. And watched wrestling my whole life. Kind of fell away with it from it when I was a teenager. Got really, really into high school sports. And then I found this thing called ECW. Right? A lot of guys got really, really into wrestling at that point. The Attitude Era kind of started kicking off. But I became fascinated with the wrestler, with Taz. You can see Taz all over my in-ring style, from kind of the presence that I bring to the ring to the mat-based, the suplexes and stuff like that. He was a guy that was an amateur wrestler who translated to the pro ring. And then following Taz by a couple years was Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle, I mean, when I saw between Taz and Kurt Angle, I knew without a shadow of a doubt I had to be a wrestler. There was no doubt in my mind this is what I wanted to do. I've been a fan. I loved it my entire life. And this is the only thing that I've ever truly been driven to do. I've worked, a lot of jobs. I had very, very successful outside the ring work, and nothing has ever made me happy like wrestling has.
First day in the ring for training, butterflies, hummingbirds, eagles, or pterodactyls?
I'd say calm. Complete silence. When I trained, with a guy named, the first guy I got in the ring with was named Lou Marconi,
okay,
who was the younger brother of my high school wrestling coach. Now I say my coach, but he was really my drill partner and my the guy that I wrestled with every day. He was a two-time All-American in college, and I was bigger and stronger than everybody else on my high school wrestling team. So they had to bring in basically a ringer to wrestle me. So they had somebody in the room to push me. This was this 30s man that I was wrestling as a 17-year-old kid. He introduced me to his younger brother, who was a pro wrestler and had been around, you know, around everywhere, you know, and he started showing me the ropes. But at that point I was, you know, an all-star wrestler, in high school and, you know, a top level football player, training in a mixed training in MMA and all that stuff. So to me, it was just another athletic thing that I was doing. I wasn't really nervous about it, and I think that's weird, but it was just I saw it as the next evolution of what I was going to do. Like everything else I had been doing had been leading me to that, so it was just the next step.
Now, bouncing around for a second, I've got to ask, because like I said, I followed you through the Lone Star State with a couple of different promotions, and a lot of people recognize, of course, from Ring of Honor. I've got to ask, though, you've done beautifully well in tag team. You've done beautifully well in singles. Do you have a preference?
Man, that's the million-dollar question. In most situations, I would say I prefer being a single, a singles wrestler. I feel like my skill set, my timing, my presence, my psychology, everything is built towards singles wrestling. However, I have been blessed over my career with three different tag team partners mm-hmm. that changed my entire view on tag team wrestling. The first was a guy in the Ohio-Pennsylvania scene named J-Rock. We formed a tag team early in my career called the Cleveland Mafia. We did things in IWC and all over, you know, IWC was the most notable one that we did, but all over in that area. And I tagged with him for about 3 years, and he totally changed my view on tag team wrestling and, you know, showed me the art behind it, showed me how I could excel at it. Then in Texas, I've teamed and still team with a guy named Jax Dane.
Yeah.
Jax, if you're very familiar with that name, I'm sure. We go by The Path. And The Path is not only, you know, a tag team, but we've actually opened a clothing line of the same name. Jax is my real-life best friend. You know, I tell people he's the big brother I never had. And I love the guy to death. So tagging with him is like working with my family. So it's amazing. I love wrestling that way. War Machine, I had never met Hansen before the top prospect tournament.
Right.
And we just, you know, have you ever met somebody and you just click?
Yes.
It's like you've known that guy for years. That was Hansen and I. And it's the weirdest thing because we just kind of got thrown together in this tournament, and they, you know, we liked the chemistry in the ring, and one thing just led to another, and where the opportunity was as a tag team, and we hit the ground running, and man, I love wrestling as War Machine. I thought, you know, my entire career, I've wanted to wrestle in Japan, and I wanted to wrestle in Ring of Honor, and both times that I see that, you know, saw that every day, visualizing it, you know, when I'm going to the gym, when I'm coming back from injuries, as I'm motivating myself and doing things, I've always, now that I'm in Ring of Honor, now that we've got a partnership with New Japan on these New Japan shows,
mm-hmm.
I've done them as a tag team. And there's no regret, there's no second guessing, it's just part of who I am now. It's kind of an evolution in my wrestling career, so it's, I think to me it makes me a much more valuable talent because I can be equally effective, I feel, as a singles guy or as a tag team guy.
Did you really, in your wildest dreams, did you think that War Machine would take off the way it did and get the acclaim from the fan base that it has?
Man, when we first started, I didn't, but it took about a month. After a month of doing shows, we knew we had something special. We really did. You know, he and I, like I said, it was just one of those things that just clicked. Like when they first approached me with the idea, I was, you know, I was hesitant. You know, I really didn't know. Like I said, I had dreamed my whole career about being a singles competitor in Ring of Honor. And now it was, well, there's a tag team opportunity. And you kind of go, ah, But then you look across and you're like, man, this is, and then you start getting excited because you're like, oh man, this would be really, really cool. This, you know, this could be dynamic. This could be something different. Nobody's doing anything like this. And really you put him and me together and we're two of the most dominant, physically dominant guys in Ring of Honor. You know, you put us together and all of a sudden it's going, oh wait, this is something. You know, usually a tag team is made up of a fast guy and the hammer. Right. You know what I mean? There's a smaller, more athletic guy, and then there's the more powerful, you know, enforcer of the group.
Right.
Well, both of us are enforcers, but both of us are both athletic enough to be the quote unquote smaller guys.
Right.
So it's you've got this strange dichotomy of like, we can come at you from any angle, at any style, and still be successful. So it's really, really kind of special. It's that lightning, it's that proverbial lightning in a bottle thing. And I didn't know initially on the first day, but by a month in, we were like, we both looked at each other like, oh man, this is, nothing can stop us.
First time Hansen turned the cartwheel in the ring when you during a match, did you crack or did you manage to keep a straight face?
To be completely honest, the first time I saw it was when he did it to me in the Top Prospect Finals. I didn't see it the way that I was wrestling when he was wrestling for the tournament, and I didn't have a chance to see his tournament matches before we wrestled, and he did it, and you know, surprised the hell out of me. So,
if I remember, you were supposed to be going for a clothesline, and he cartwheeled out of the way just as you got past him, right?
Oh yeah.
I thought I was trying to remember. I was trying to remember that moment.
Yeah, it was definitely one that I'll remember.
And do me a favor, Wicked Nemesis, come on in. Got a question for Mr. Rowe?
Being such a powerhouse of a tag team, how great is it to see a resurgence of tag teams and actually seeing there being tag teams brought to the limelight in several organizations around the country, and how do you counter such great wrestling with such terrible interviews as the one that Eddie has given you?
Well, you know, as a wrestler, you kind of are trained to make the best of any situation. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do. But, to be completely honest, it's really a fun time to be a tag team in this country and in the world, because it seems like tag team wrestling is coming back in a way that it hasn't since, like, the 80s in the Mid-South. You know, back then you had all these tag teams and everybody really invested in the teams. And then it got away, you know, with WWE, they never really, really pushed tag team wrestling like it was in other markets. And now with Ring of Honor, I mean, Christ, you've got the Addiction, you've got the Briscoes, you've got the Kingdom, you've got us, you've got Red Dragon.
Yeah.
Holy crap, Red Dragon was New Japan Pro Wrestling Tag Teams champs and Ring of Honor Tag Team champs simultaneously, and they were the fifth that came, you know what I mean, that I just rattled off. You've got the Bucks, you've got, you know what I mean, CNC Wrestle Factory, you've got so many teams that, like, that's in one organization.
Right.
Then you look at other places. You know, we just signed, I don't know if you guys have seen the news, but we just signed a rematch with KES, with Killer Elite Squad, for August 22nd, so the day after my birthday. Talk about a birthday present. The day after my birthday, we get a rematch with the Killer Elite Squad in Brooklyn, New York, for Ring of Honor. Now, they are the reigning heavyweight NOAH Tag Team Champions, and they are the reigning NWA World Tag Team Champions.
Right.
We went to a no contest with them in San Antonio back in April, and we both teams had been chomping at the bit for another shot at each other. Well, here we go, you know, round two. So we're really excited about that, man. And there's great tag team wrestling all over the globe. So it's an exciting time to be in a tag team.
And I just realized the time, and I know that you said that you're pressed for time this evening, and I really wanted to talk a little bit about, because I wanted to get a little bit more.
Yeah, we've got about 10 more minutes if you want to go.
Yeah, I'm good. We're good as long as you are, sir.
Yeah. I've got about 10 more minutes.
Well, let me go ahead and put it out there, because you brought up a buzzword for a lot of people, and that was injury, and that would be the wreck, because just as I heard that. I know it's still got to be sore every once in a while, and you probably get a little bit of a cringe. But when things started, let's go to the comeback trail. Let's go to rehab. Past the diagnosis, past the prognosis. When you're getting back in, because I remember last night I was texting you, and you're busy in the gym after 10 o'clock at night, and that's dedication, that's devotion. Was there a single-minded focus once the prognosis was in place for you to get back in the ring?
Well, yeah. First off, like, I'm going to derail just for a second because sure. I want to back up because anyone who didn't know how serious that wreck was, the first two doctors, the responding MT on the scene and the emergency room doctor, both looked me dead in the eyes and could not explain to me why I had survived. They literally told me I should be dead on the table. The next doctor I talked to told me that I would never wrestle again. You know, because once I realized I was alive, I asked the EMT, you know, when am I going to wrestle again? And he was the one that told me, you shouldn't be alive. Don't worry about wrestling. I got to the emergency room. You shouldn't be alive. I know that. But when can I wrestle? I talked to the first surgeon. When can I wrestle? He said, never. Next surgeon, you know, we went to another one who had worked on some WWE guys and some MMA fighters. And, you know, he said 8 months to a year. I was fully cleared in 5 months and back in the ring in 6 months. With an eight months to a year prognosis. So yeah, if you want to talk about, you know, motivation,
yeah.
You know, there was immediately after the surgery, I was just devastated. You know, I went from peak physical condition of my life to literally not being able to take off my own shirt, not being able to shower. So for about 2 weeks, I was the lowest point I'd ever been in my life. And thankfully, I have a phenomenal girl at my side. She was there every single day, making sure that I was able to shower, making sure that I could eat, making sure that I wasn't getting too low. You know, making sure, hey, you're gonna get through this. You're gonna get through this. You're gonna get through this. And I would just, no, I'm not. You know, let me be miserable. She'd come back the next day. You know, make sure I shower, make sure I eat, make sure. So she literally dragged me through that low part. And then I had good brothers there. I had Shane Taylor. I had Jack's name. And we were in the gym 6 to 7 days a week, every day. Every week. You know, at first I wasn't able to really do anything with my upper body. So I was training legs. I was doing it on a stair mill. I was, you know, just losing my body. Then once I was released to train fully, man, it was all engines full steam, and I haven't stopped since. You know, I'm motivated like I've never been before because I don't want to waste a day. You know, before it was like, oh, I can take a rest day. Now I might not get rest days in the future. You know, we're going to put the work in now. So it's crazy. But I was very blessed with the support system I had to get me through that, you know, because you can be motivated by yourself, but if you don't have a support system in place, you're going to spin your wheels.
And I do want to say congratulations on the recovery, congratulations on the return to the ring, and definitely congratulations for all the success you've had from start to nowhere near finish so far in your career.
No, sir.
But this leads me to what I call my 3-2 pitch.
Okay.
We learn lessons every day. We go in for training. We learn lessons every day we step into a venue. We learn lessons every time we step into a ring. And every once in a while, we learn that lesson about ourselves and our chosen path. What has pro wrestling taught you about yourself?
Pro wrestling has definitely taught me that I think that I'm not like most people. I don't have that off switch that a lot of people have. You know, pro wrestling taught me that, you know, pro wrestlers are a different breed. Like there's tough and then there's wrestling tough. And I think, you know, that hard to kill moniker, that's been spawned since the accident, you know, mm-hmm. it's weird to talk about myself in this way, but the only way that I can answer that question is I'm not made of the same things that Jeff, because everyone in my life that didn't understand what pro wrestling meant to me was just, oh, well, man, I'm sure you're thankful that you're alive. I'm sure, you know, oh, man, it could have been so much worse. Oh, you know, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. And all I could think about was getting back in the ring. That's literally the only thought in my mind. People were like, wow, you're so lucky. And all I could think of is we just had to cancel a match with the Briscoes.
I have a feeling that's going to be made up somewhere down the road too.
Ladies. Oh, yeah. You know, we fought them again since I've come back. So it's that. And what do you do? You know, how do you do it? You know, what separates you as a wrestler? You know, are you willing to, are most people going to wrestle and then drive 10, 12 hours, wrestle again, drive 10, 12 hours, then wrestle again, then drive, you know, 6 or 8 hours back home,
mm-hmm.
and go to the gym that day? I do every weekend. You know, sometimes it's flying. Sometimes it's, you know, driving. It just depends on, sometimes it's flying, then driving, then flying home. You know, you live on the road and you push yourself past the point of where any sane person would say, nope, I need a break. And you just continue to do it because this is the life. This is what we've chosen. And I have, you know, and I've never been happier.
This is pro wrestling. Please define the word sanity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Like wrestling, you know, there's normal for people tough. Then there's wrestling tough. And then, and what I describe as everyday life, like when I go into situations where, you know, I go into a business meeting or I talk to sponsors or I talk to, you know, just business associates, you know, stuff like that, just interacting on a normal level, and people start asking me questions about my lifestyle, about my travel schedule, about my training schedule, about my diet, about what, you know, what physically I put my body through to do what I do. The reaction is almost always the same. People just look at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. Like they cannot process the things that I'm just are normal to me. And normal to, you know, to other guys in that life. And I don't even think about them. That's just what you do. That's who you are. That's part, you know, that's part of who you are, the fabric of what makes you a wrestler. You know, 'cause there's a lot of people that put boots on and go into the ring, that play wrestler. There's a big difference between being a wrestler and wrestling once or twice a month. There's a big difference between, you know, doing this professionally and doing this as a hobby. You know, and that's not to say the guys who aren't touring full, there aren't guys who are professional who don't tour full time, but there's a big difference, and it's a lifestyle. And if it's not a lifestyle, then you're just doing it as a hobby. And that's really, you know, what taught me that separation between, you know, the guys who are just doing this. So it's like there's between normal people and wrestlers. And then there's an even further separation between wrestlers where it's like, oh yeah, well, most of the guys are back there and they're happy doing that. Well, I'm over here with the other side and we're going to continue pushing and changing the business.
You are listening to the To Be Determined Show, the Oracle of Ominous, the Wicked Nemesis, Angie Travis, soon to be joined by the Grand Design, Clyde Braddock. I'm show producer, Fast Eddie Lane, being joined by very special guest, Hard to Kill, Raymond Rowe. And Mr. Rowe's appearance this evening comes courtesy of Lone Star Championship Wrestling and Clutch City Productions. Matter of fact, this Sunday, July the 12th in Pasadena, Texas, Bustin' for Autism, presented by Lone Star Championship Wrestling and Clutch City Productions with the Bustin' for Autism Charity Group. Portions of the proceeds from this Sunday show will be benefiting Bustin' for Autism, a nonprofit organization with the purpose of sponsoring special needs children's participation in camps and other activities. There's going to be a very special meet and greet this coming Sunday, 3 p.m., it is included in the price of your ticket. Ringside floor seating, $25. General admission bleacher seating, $15 for adults, $10 for children 12 and under. And Our very special guest at this time is featured in what I've said before, and I'll say it again, what could be a main event anywhere in the country, and you're going to get it in Pasadena, Texas, this Sunday, July 12th, as Hard to Kill Raymond Rowe takes on Supermex Sean Hernandez, or Hernandez. Some people don't put the Sean in there. It's a coin toss on that one. Mr. Rowe, thoughts going into this matchup?
I've known Sean for about 6 years. You know, he knew me when I still lived in Ohio. I actually wrestled him in IWC. I came down to Texas, you know, spent some time with his company in San Antonio. You know, we're no strangers to each other. We've been in the ring, you know, with each other, against each other, half a dozen times. I can promise you this one is going to be violent. This one is going to be physical. You know, Sean has gone between 235 and 275 in the time that I've known him. I don't know where his weight is right now. I'm guessing he's probably 245, 250. I know that I weighed in this morning at 255. You know, I'm in the best fighting shape of my life. I know that Sean, he's on Lucha Underground now. He's, you know, he's doing stuff in Mexico. He's not taking a step back. We both have some bragging rights at stake, you know. The way that we're looking at this is kind of Ring of Honor versus Lucha Underground.
Yep.
You know, we compete head to head on Wednesday nights on TV. We're about to compete face to face Sunday night in Pasadena, Texas. So this is the way that I see it. You know, I know that he's that same kind of hard nosed guy. He's a very, very prideful guy. Anybody who knows Sean knows that he's very prideful. He really wants to be looked at and treated a certain way, and I'm standing right across the ring from him, and anybody that knows me knows I've never backed down from a fight ever. You know, and I've said it a lot of times, I haven't won every match, but I've never lost a fight. And I promise you, Sunday's match is going to be a fight. It's going to be a knockdown, drag out fight, start to finish.
In the main event of this show, you've got Alberto El Patron, former WWE star, Alberto Del Rio, Lucha Underground star, AAA Mega Champion while you're at it, kids, who's also going to be taking on the former Lone Star Heavyweight Champion in Houston, Carson. Colt Cabana returns to Lone Star to face the Maharaja Raj Singh, formerly known as Jinder Mahal, WWE. Former ECW superstar Tommy Dreamer takes on the American Psycho Lance Hoyt, Lance Archer. Lone Star Heavyweight Championship match. John Saxon defends against Absolute Ricky Starks. The Cruiserweight Championship for Lone Star will be on the line as Cherry Ramones takes on... We talked to Tony Brooklyn last night. Now, this has got to be the battle of the nicknames. Because I'm just going to use the correct... I'm going to use the proper nicknames. As Cherry Ramones takes on the King of Sleaze, Joey Ryan. That in itself is going to be a match for the... That's going to be a fun match to watch. And you've got the Lone Star Women's Championship in a triple threat match. The champion, Barbie Hayden, taking on Candice LeRae and Ivelisse of Lucha Underground fame. And you're going to know her from a number of other venues as well. You've got a lot of great stars, including pro wrestling legends like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Scott Flash Norton. Gene Snitsky's going to be there. You've got a lot of great stars, the best of Texas, and all worlds converge in a number of different ways in Pasadena this coming Sunday under the banner of Lone Star Championship Wrestling with Clutch City Productions, Bustin' for Autism. Before we let you run and enjoy the rest of your night, sir, and I know you're probably going to be hitting the gym in the next couple of minutes, any personalized message you'd like to send out to the fans who are getting ready to head for the event this weekend?
Man, get there early, get loud, get crazy, because the louder you get, the louder we get in the ring. Also, keep track on me on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Raymond X Row. That's Raymond, RayMond, X Row, ROWE. I put everything up. There's match clips, there's match, you know, sometimes full matches, match highlights, match pictures. Keep up to date with my schedule, all merchandise, all that stuff. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Instagram and Twitter, at Raymond X Row. Thank you guys so much for your time. Thanks for having me on. We'll see you Sunday.
Have a great night. Thank you for taking the time to come on, and thank you for being so generous. Folks, hang with us. We're going to the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back on the To Be Determined show right after this.
Howdy, friends. This is the Magic City Motormouth Fast Eddie Lane with your invitation to join yours truly, along with Mark Mabo Bowman and the Oracle of Ominous, the Wicked Nemesis, every Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, for Beyond Ringside Live. Wrestling, mixed martial arts, sports talk, and a whole lot more. Keep your eyes open on BeyondRingside.com for all of upcoming show information, and of course, catch us on social media as well. Until then, we'll see you this Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, for Beyond Ringside Live on the Beyond Ringside Radio Network.